Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. We'll be reading chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. Remember that the book of Hebrews is written to the first audience, primarily to Jews who have become Christians, who have professed faith in Christ. And so the Spirit of God is writing to them to persuade them, to counsel them, not to turn back to Judaism. For Judaism and the things of the law and the things of the Old Testament were pointing them to this time of Jesus Christ. And so while we may not be tempted to turn back to the law, or sometimes we are tempted to do that for salvation, but while we may not be tempted to turn back to the Old Testament sacrifices and the Old Testament ways, the application for us as we read the book of Hebrews is to not turn back to anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep our eyes on Christ. And so that's what the Spirit of God is doing here as He works with these people. And may He do it also as He works with us. Please hear the reading of God's Word and pay careful attention to it. This is His holy and inspired Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let us pray. Holy Father in heaven, we come now, Lord, depending upon You, totally upon You, to work in our hearts. That place, Lord, where no man can go. Not even we ourselves can work in our own hearts. We trust, Lord, You would, by Your Holy Spirit and Your Word, as it is read and preached, that You, Lord, would change us, that You would sanctify us more and more until the day when Jesus Christ returns, as we hear Your Word. Help us, Lord, not only to hear it, but to be doing it. And help us, Lord, to be doing it by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Abraham is the fourth example of a faithful person that the Holy Spirit puts before us here in Hebrews chapter 11. And as you look at these people that the Spirit is putting before us, each person who's set before us has some of the same characteristics of faith, and then some things in their situation that are a little different that make an application to their faith, how they lived it out. And that's what we're looking at today in Abraham's life. His life is set before us and the Hebrew Christians to encourage us to persevere in the faith in this life. To persevere in the faith in this life. And so I've entitled the sermon here this morning, By Faith, From Here to There. By faith we live today, persevering in this life, looking forward to those things that have been promised to us for the future life. And again, as I said, we must remember that the Hebrew Christians were being tempted to turn back to Judaism for fear of persecution from other Jews or loss. They were being called now to trust God through Jesus Christ, even though, like Abraham, they did not know where that may lead them, where it may take them, or what it might cost them. They were already starting to experience some of the cost of following Jesus Christ. They were, according to in God's Word, being called to live by faith now, just as Abraham was called to do, and just as you are called to do as well. God does not obligate Himself to show you everything or to give you everything right now. Because if He did, then you wouldn't be living by faith. You wouldn't be trusting in His Word to fulfill all His promises. So God is calling the Hebrew Christians to break bonds with Judaism that were just as strong as Abraham's bonds with his family and his country. And just as Abraham did not know where God was calling him to, he'd never been there, he didn't know what he was going to be facing, the Hebrew Christians and we do not know everything that God is going to take us through. But we are being called to look at Abraham as one who did not know where he was going, as one who did not know what he would be facing. See, back in those days, just to travel was dangerous. To leave your homeland and go to another country was dangerous because people considered you to be a threat to their well-being, to their land, and to their families. So Abraham knew that to pick up from where he was and go somewhere else was a risky venture. But he did it because of his faith in God's promise. Same way with the Jews. Just as the journey from Haran to Mesopotamia to the land of Canaan could be filled with hazards, trouble, trials, so the Jews of this day in the book of Hebrews were going to face that same thing. Their journey from Judaism to Christ was likely going to cost them and be a struggle. And so it is with us today. A journey from being once a citizen of this world to now a citizen of a country that is far greater. And we speak of the heavenly city, the heavenly country. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. We don't know what trial God may bring into our life. We don't know what suffering there may be because we have this view of one day being in God's presence in the heavenly city. So this chapter specifically is written to us to help us, to encourage us to endure by faith in this unknown journey. And nothing but the gospel could compel people such as us to abandon this world that we can see, to live by faith for a world that we cannot see. And the message of Abraham's faith is tied to the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are not two separate things. Abraham's faith. When we hear by faith Abraham, we should think gospel. We should think good news. Because that's what the Apostle Paul does in Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 to 9, where he says, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." This was another episode in the Old Testament where the good news was preached by God to one of His people. And here it was preached to God by God to Abraham at the very same time that He promised him that there was a land that He would show him, that He would bless them, make them a great nation, and that in Him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Paul says that promise is a gospel promise. The gospel was preached to Abraham in that promise that God made to him. Galatians 3 verse 8 is a direct quote from Genesis chapter 12 verse 3 in saying, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." How did that blessing come? Galatians 3:14 tells us that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When you see the words, "by faith, Abraham," you need to think gospel of Jesus Christ, because it was preached to him and he believed God's promises. So if in this life we are to take the same journey as Abraham, we must go from here to there, from earth to heaven, by faith in Christ alone. That's what we're called to. When we face trials, by faith in Christ alone. When we face discouragements, we are being called to endure by faith, because we are not looking for that perfect life here on this earth. We are looking for that greater life when sin will be eradicated, when sin will not be harassing us, when death and sickness will be no more, when there'll be no obstacles to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for. But in this life here, we must endure. And that's why Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10 presents to us Abraham's faith. And in so doing, he presents to us three aspects of that faith. And the first one is found in verse 8, and that is our faith must be an obedient faith. Our faith must be an obedient faith. And in verse 9, he tells us that our faith must be a living one. It's not just one with words that says, I believe, but it must be lived out in this world today. Thirdly, our faith must be an expecting one with a view towards something greater. We see these things all in Abraham's faith, and the Holy Spirit is calling us through His Word to have this kind of faith. Abraham is not put here for us to admire and say, "Great Abraham." He is put here so that we would endure in this life whatever we face by faith in Christ alone, so that by faith all the promises that God has made in Jesus Christ we would see and we would experience. So first let's look then at verse 8 as we see that our faith must be an obedient one. The Holy Spirit wastes no time in telling us that. He says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed. And so the Spirit of God starts right out from the beginning telling us what Abraham's faith looked like and how it manifested itself and what our faith is to look like in Christ as well. It is manifested not in just words or even just our own thoughts, but in obedience. Faith in itself is an act of obedience. We are called to believe what God tells us, and Abraham did that. He obeyed God's call upon his life. Now, Abraham was likely a very happy, run-of-the-mill idolater in his day. You would not have gone and showed up to Abraham's house and said, "There is a good man." He was a sinner, he was an idolater, and everyone around him was practicing idolatry. He was not a worshiper of the one true God in Genesis 12, where we read, "And God said to Abraham," he was nothing but an idolatrous man, living with an idolatrous family in an idolatrous country. And God called him and plucked him out of that place. We know this. Joshua 24, verse 2 and 3 tells us, Abraham and his family were serving other gods when God came to him. That God took him from the other side of the flood. All God's initiative, all God's doing. Abraham might have been great in his society. He might have been wealthy. He might have been looked up to. But none of this was the reason God took him. It was simply by God's sovereign grace and God's mercy that he came to Abraham and called him out. Abraham was not looking for God. God came to Abraham of his own doing and called him to get up and go to a land that he knew not. So Abraham, by faith, the Spirit of God says here in verse 8, obeyed God. And this is an amazing event in redemption. Here Abraham is, going about his life, worshiping idols, raising his family, caring for his flocks. And out of this great idolatrous country, God takes him. Not only does he call to him, he calls him to go somewhere else, to leave all this supposed goodness that he had behind, and to go to a place he did not know. And Abraham, the scripture tells us here in verse 8, he went out, not knowing where he was going. This was God's call upon his life. To go to a place, a land that I will show you, that I will give to you. Abraham's obedience here was a manifestation of his faith. He heard God's call. He believed God's call. And so he obeyed God's call. And this is what Hebrews 11, 6 has told us before. He who comes to God must believe that God is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him by faith. And so Abraham, hearing God's call and hearing the blessing that God promised him, that God would reward him upon his acting out of faith, he believed God's promises. And it manifested itself through obedience, not just lip service or not just mental ascension to a set of truths. A.W. Pink, in his commentary on this passage, said, "Obedience is faith's daughter." More importantly, the Apostle James said, "Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." True biblical faith manifests itself in biblical works and obedience. And so Abraham was demonstrating true faith. He was demonstrating what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." All these examples of these people of faith go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. They are examples of this being acted out, of our faith being acted out through our obedience to the Lord. And this was what Abraham was demonstrating. His obedience. His obedience was a manifestation of his faith. It was fueled by God's promises. And so the scripture tells us that Abraham, by faith, believed God. And this is not a work of salvation. It is a manifestation of what God was doing in Abraham's heart and life. He heard God's call to go, so he went. He heard God's promises to give him a land that he would show him, to make him a great nation, to make his name great, bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and bless all the families of the earth in thee. This is what God promised to him. And by faith, Abraham believed that God is a rewarder of those who come to him by faith. Imagine if Abraham had not believed in those promises that God had made. What do you think he would have done? He would have stayed right there in Mesopotamia. So his obedience was predicated by his faith in God's promises. And those promises are what the Apostle Paul says are the gospel. They led him to leave his country and his family, his safety and his land. His faith led him to take up a journey of unknown length and unknown trials and unknown hazards, which he would face. As we read through the book of Genesis, we see the trials and hazards that Abraham did face. And nothing but faith in God and his word will enable us to make a journey just like Abraham did. Nothing but faith in God's word and his promises through Jesus Christ enable us to say, in this life, I will live according to God's word, even though it may cost me, even though it may not be popular, even though I may be rejected by this world, my faith will enable me to endure all those things as I look for the fulfillment of God's promises. So, as Abraham is being presented here to us, the question for us is, does my faith look like this? When I face trials, when I face discouragement, when I face the reality of my own sin, do I endure by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all the promises that God has made to me, to you? The faith that is looking to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, will endure to the end. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to the Hebrew Christians. This is what faith looks like. Look at your father Abraham, because he believed the gospel promise. And it enabled him to obey the Lord, to get up and go where the Lord told him to go. And this faith, this obedience manifested itself in a daily life of faith. Once he got there in the land, It was not given to him. He was there, but he was a stranger. But he was still called to live there in a land amongst other idolaters, amongst the true God haters, amongst people who did not follow God's word. Abraham was called to live in that kind of scenario. Does that sound familiar to you? Are you not called to live in that same kind of situation today? But you are called to live by faith. To actually live by faith. And that's what we see in verse 9. Our faith must be a living faith. Verse 9 tells us that he dwelt in the land of promise. To dwell in is to live. He dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He dwelt in the land that God clearly promised to him, but it was never given to him. It was not his yet. In Genesis 12:7, God said to Abraham, "To thy seed will I give this land." The promise is made to you, Abraham. Abraham would never see the possession of that land. But he lived as if he already had it, because he was living based on God's promises and God's faithfulness. But God said to him, "To thy seed will I give this land." Abraham was standing right there. He had made the journey from his country. He had plucked up all his people and all his goods and all his livestock, and he had made this journey. And he was there. But in God's sovereignty and in God's plan, he was not given the land. He lived there as a stranger. He lived there as someone sojourning or traveling. He was an alien in the land. And though it currently was in the possession of the Canaanites, he still had to live there, because that's where God called him to. That's where he would establish the nation of Israel. That's where he would prepare the people to possess the land. And it would be almost five generations before the descendants of Abraham would possess that land, as we went through the book of Joshua. But Abraham lived by faith as if he already had title to it. It was promised to him by God, and that was all that he needed. And had he not believed that God would be faithful to his promise, even probably as he arrived in Canaan, if he still was not living by faith once he got there, he probably would have turned around. But by faith, he lived in this land as a stranger, as an alien. He did not yet build up permanent dwellings because it was not his yet. But he did live there in tents, he and his family. Genesis 12:10 tells us that he went to Egypt during a famine as a sojourner. Because there was a famine in the land where God took him, he went to Egypt where he could have food. But he did not take up residence there. He did not say, "Well, why go back to Canaan? Why wouldn't I just stay here in Egypt if they'll have me? They have all the food and all the things that I need." But he didn't. He was just a sojourner there. Then in Genesis chapter 23, we are told that his wife Sarah died. And what did Abraham do? He bought a cave in the land that God had promised him. We're told that Abraham bought a cave to bury his wife. He buried her. Verse 19 of Genesis 23 tells us, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. Knowing that this is where his descendants would be, knowing that this is where the nation that God had promised to bring from him would be, he had his wife buried there. He's living by faith. In Genesis chapter 24, Abraham told his servant to go back to his home country to find a wife for Isaac. Part of the instructions to that servant were, the servant said to Abraham, "What if I go there and no one is willing to come back to be Isaac's wife?" Well, Abraham said, "The Lord has given me this country and he'll provide a wife. But even if he doesn't, you are not to come back here and take Isaac back there." You're not to go a second time and take Isaac personally to that land where I came from and try to find him a wife that way, because I don't want Isaac turning back there, because this is the land that God has given me. This is the land that God has promised to me and my descendants. Abraham, in each of these situations, was living by faith in a land that was promised but was not yet his. He was living by faith at every turn. Even when Abraham died, his son Isaac and Ishmael, knowing the faith of their father, knowing his view of what God's promises were to him, took his body and buried him in the same place in the land of Canaan. What we have being painted for us here is a picture of Abraham's faith, which is a picture of the already, but not yet, character of biblical faith. The land was his. God had promised it, but he'd not yet been able to give him the possession of it. And God had his reasons for that as well. And that's what we're in too, folks. We are in this stage of faith, of an already but not yet situation. We too are sojourners in this world. This world is not our home. We have a greater city that we're looking for. And that's the character of biblical faith. Believing God's promises as if we already have them and living out faith in them even though they are not fulfilled yet. Because faith is the evidence, the possession of things not yet seen. We are, like Abraham, also sojourners in this world. We do not belong to this world. We do not belong to its ways. We do not practice its ways. It is not our home. It is not the place that we are looking for. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we are looking for something much better. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he tells them, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." He is identifying them also as sojourners, as travelers, as pilgrims, to not live like the world, even though they are in the world, but to live as though you belong to another country. You are belonging to another kingdom. Abraham not only went to the land God promised him, he lived in that land by faith as an alien, as a stranger. The promise was his, but the land was not yet his. God made it clear to Abraham in Genesis 15 that while he would not live to see the possession of the land, his descendants would take it after he let the iniquity of the Amorites fill up before him, and then they would take it. Which speaks to us, we don't know all that God is doing. Why is God not just plucking the church out of this world right now? Why isn't he doing that? Because he's doing other things. He's dealing with man and his sinfulness. He's letting man's sinfulness fill up and it be part of their own judgment. He's also saving people. More people whom he has elected before the foundation of the world. And so God is doing things in this earth. And we're called to live by faith in the midst of God working at every turn of our life. That while we are here, by God's providence, we are to live by faith according to his word and his promises. So Abraham heard the Lord's command, he believed and obeyed, he heard the Lord's promises, believed in them, and lived out. While he was here on earth, he lived out this faith that says, this land will one day be my descendants. Everything he did in death, in getting a wife for his son, all of this was predicated on his faith in the promise that God would bless him and all the nations through him. And we are in that same kind of situation. God has made us promises that He will deliver on to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you think about promises that God has made to you and that you are depending on will come true? But you don't have them yet. You don't have them totally fulfilled in your life. Certainly one thing we think about is eternal salvation. We have it. We are saved. For those who are in Christ Jesus, we have it here on earth, but not all of it yet. We have freedom from sin. We are no longer slaves to sin, but you and I both know that we are still severely harassed by sin. We still struggle with it. And so we confess it and seek God's forgiveness based on what? What the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross, dying to pay for our sin, reconciling us to God. And so we have that. But we're looking for something greater, aren't we, folks? Aren't we looking for the fulfillment of our salvation? To be with the Lord forever, to be without sin, to be without sickness and death. But we have those trials to face while we're here on earth. And it is the promises of God that get us from here to there. Trusting and believing in those promises. Because if you didn't believe that what God is saying about Himself and what God has said about you and what God is saying about His promises, there would be nothing to compel you to live differently than the people of this world. So God calls us to believe in His promises and to live them out as if they've already been delivered, that they are so sure, so certain, because they are based on God's faithfulness. And this was the faith of Abraham. Biblical faith, like Abraham, will have an eye to the future fulfillment of all the promises that God has made to us in Christ Jesus. And Abraham was aware that while the land of Canaan was part of the promise, it was not all that there was. Just like salvation, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit. For those who are in Christ Jesus, we have been given the Spirit of God. But God has not given us all that's wrapped up in our salvation. There is more. And if we are going to endure, now plenty of people endure rough life in this world. The world endures trials, suffering, hazards. But the Bible is calling us to endure these things by faith with an eye to the future, a future hope. And that's what we see in verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so we, like Abraham, must have an expecting faith. An expecting faith. One that expects the things that God has promised to us to be fulfilled. One that expects even greater things that we see in this life that we are experiencing now. Abraham was looking for something greater than even the land of Canaan. Though he dwelt in tents in that land now, he was looking for something greater, even greater than permanent buildings. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. An eternal city. Abraham knew that all cities on earth are temporary. Even though he was dwelling in tents, even the buildings around him and the cities around him would one day go away. Abraham had an eternal perspective on these promises of God. He was looking for a city with foundations. Which is to say, a city that will not go away. A city that is permanent. A city whose builder and maker is God. Even though he lived in tents all his life, all the while seeing the cities of Canaan around him, he never thought these were what he was looking for. My goodness, if you want cities, the world can give you cities. Where are those cities? In years past. Are they not gone? And one day this city will be gone. There is nothing permanent here. Abraham was looking for a city with foundations, speaking of eternality, is speaking of eternally living with God. And that's what it comes down to here. Abraham was looking for that city where God dwelt, where He was the builder and the maker. And that's what we are being called to do as well. To see the things around us as not being permanent, as not being the thing that will satisfy, but to be looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was expecting that. Even though he knew God was giving him this land, he could look around and he could see all the buildings and all the homes, all the permanent so-called dwellings that the Canaanites had. And I think he might have said something like, "This is not all there is. The world can give you that. But the world cannot give you a dwelling place with God." That only comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was willing to put up with the suffering, the waiting, living as a foreigner without a home in this life, because the home he was looking for was so much greater. Throughout Abraham's life, he lived in tents. His sons lived in tents. All around him were these buildings. And yet he was looking for something greater. His faith taught him to desire this city of God. He was willing to put up with the suffering, the waiting, living as a foreigner without a home in this life, because he was looking for that greater city, the city whose maker was God. And so the one who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will also be looking for this kind of city, the kind of city where God is at the center of it. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 5, speaks of this city, saying, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This was the city that Abraham was looking for, whose builder and maker is God. Is this what you're looking for? Is this the kind of city you want to live in? No more curse, no more sin, no more death, in the very presence of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God of Jesus Christ is there, and His glory shines so bright there'll be no more need of the sun. His name will be on your foreheads because you belong to Him, and you shall see His face. You will be in His presence. We do have to ask ourselves, is that what I am seeking? I've heard and I've mentioned to you often how often people say, "Forget about all that stuff. I want the streets of gold." And they want it now. The kind of city that we are to be looking for by faith is where the very presence of God is. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you," in John chapter 14. But before he went to prepare a place for us, he had to go to a place God had prepared for him. The cross, where he laid down his life for you to take God's wrath for you. only to take it up and be resurrected to new life, and to be seated at God's right hand of power, where he has prepared a place for all those who come to him by faith. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, verse 24, that the Father would bring those whom he had given to him. They would be with him where he is, so that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. This Jesus has prepared a place for you to be with him, to see his glory. That's what Abraham was looking for. A city like this. You haven't seen Jesus yet. You didn't see him die. But if you believe in God's words and promises to save you from your sins through faith in Christ, you will see him in all his glory in a city made by God, which has an eternal foundation. That's what Abraham was looking for. That's what we are to be looking for. A place where you will serve him in perfect holiness for eternity. Abraham looked for this city and he found it. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. While on earth he had his eyes on heaven, his eyes on Christ's glory, and by faith in God's promises of a holy city coming, kept him living out his faith as a stranger here on earth. So what kind of city are you wanting to be in? This city? This world? Or that city where you'll be living in the very presence of God forever? The city built by God. This is what the Spirit of God is telling us today. To put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will have assurance of going to that city where the Lord is. And this is what God promises to all who by faith, like Abraham, believe in him and believe in his promises. This is the kind of faith in Christ Jesus that will get you from here to there. Trusting in him alone, that you'll be with him and with the Lord forever in his presence. And may this be our heart's desire. And may God work this out in our life, that he may be glorified. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the preaching of it and the hearing of it. And now, Lord, we ask that you would make it impressed upon our hearts and minds. Use it in our lives, Lord, to help us to live faithful lives here on this earth as we wait for our final redemption to be taken to that heavenly city where we will be with you forever. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our faith, that while we are living here and waiting for your promises all to be fulfilled, we ourselves would be by faith trusting in you.